The Six Nations Wildlife and Stewardship Department have been working throughout the year on ecological land classification fieldwork days. And here to talk to me about that work and some of the findings is Lauren Jones from Six Nations Wildlife and Stewardship. So thank you for joining me today, Lauren.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. I'm happy to do it.
I just wanted to start by asking if you could give a little more detail on what goes on during the fieldwork days and just some of the things you're looking for on those days.
Yeah, so, first things first, the fieldwork is done for now. The day basically entails just going out into the forest and trying to identify plants that are there. So ELC, or Ecological Land Classification, it's basically just a method to try and categorize certain environments. So we do that by looking at different species of plants that might be present. We do that by looking at the topography, so the different slopes, the aspects of like where the sun is coming up, where the sun is going down in relation to those areas, and the soil. But the most important part is looking at the plants, because certain classifications, certain codes that we use and assign to these areas have certain indicator species that we're looking for.
And have you been able to work with different organizations within the community to help you in some of your findings?
Well, yeah, like we've obviously been trying to contact as many community members, and as well as the Land-Based Healing Center has been a really big help, same with Guyana Say, same with like the environmental portion of the elected council. They've all been like a fantastic help, and a lot of them have even come out and with us on field days to kind of see what we see. But yeah, we definitely couldn't have done this work, definitely to the effectiveness that we did, without their help. And they've been integral in that.
And have you seen anything with the plant species, maybe on a year-by-year basis, of it changing within the community?
So that's kind of the unfortunate part about this, is we actually, at least in my office, we haven't had the capacity to actually go out and assess these things year after year. The most comprehensive thing I have was a biological inventory that was done in 1985. And that even wasn't on the full reserve. It was only, I believe, about 16 different sites. And so, unfortunately, year to year, we haven't really had the ability to assess all this. Obviously, there's the pandemic in that, which is challenging for everybody. But also the fact that I'm relatively new to this role in comparison. My manager left, and then Paul General was the one that actually started this project, and he unfortunately had to retire, I think mostly against his wishes, but yeah, so that's kind of been a challenge with this project.
And so are you hoping to maybe get an updated briefing of all the wildlife and the plant species?
I mean, I would love that personally. Unfortunately, it is just me in this office, and there is a lot of work to do. So if we have interest, I mean, what I could kind of see happening more realistically is if certain community members wanted to have us take a look at their area and kind of provide updates in that way, I could see that happening. A project of this scale, unfortunately, probably not, just because of the amount of time and effort it took into applying to get the funds in the first place, and then to kind of organize it all as well. So yes and no. I don't know if that answers your question.
And just getting into a little bit of the field work, can you just tell me about some of the coolest discoveries or projects that you got to work on this year? I did see the hummingbird, the albino hummingbirds, and you guys do feature a lot of the native plants and species on your Facebook page as well. So I'm just wondering maybe if you could talk about a highlight of the year so far, if that came with the field work.
I mean, for me, it's got to be the hummingbirds. I just think that's so cool. Albino anything is super rare in the natural environment. As you could probably imagine, they're pretty easy to pick off, and they're very likely to get predated by things, right? Because they stand out so much. And so when I did a little bit of research on albino hummingbirds, there's only been about 150 recognized, like, oh, we found this in all of North America. So the fact that we found multiple on Six Nations is a really big deal, and it's very interesting that, you know, they're able to survive in this area as opposed to somewhere else where they're not found at all. So the albino hummingbirds is definitely a highlight for me. I think that's so interesting, but I'm an animal nerd, so that's probably not surprising either. The other part is just being able to identify things on the reserve that previously in my office, I have no record of them. So you remember I mentioned the biological inventory in 1985, but there were species that we found in these investigations this past year that weren't even mentioned in that original biological inventory. So things like spring peepers, for example, that we know that they're there, we've heard them, but they were not written down anywhere. So it was kind of cool to be able to like add things to the biological inventory for Six Nations and to kind of get that on record.
And do you plan on focusing on animals as well as plants too?
I would love to. ELC is kind of just a good starting point because there is obviously those indicator species and things that would be like in a deciduous forest versus like a cultural woodland, right? But then if we have specific interests or we have specific concerns about certain animals and certain wildlife, then we'll be able to hopefully pinpoint areas that we can kind of look to do surveys on and to kind of assess in that way. So for example, if I don't know if you're familiar with bobolinks or meadowlarks, anything like that. So they're both species at risk that tend to favor like meadow habitats. So we're not going to find them in the deciduous forest, but we know that they're on Six Nations. I've seen some iNaturalist postings of them. And so if I were to do a project on bobolinks and meadowlarks, I would target survey areas that were more meadowish in nature. And so being able to kind of do these initial assessments allows us to kind of work more effectively for future projects.
And what would you need within like the department to be able to do more of this field work and be able to get more information from the wildlife?
So, I mean, I love talking about animals and wildlife, as you can probably tell. So more input from the community is always lovely. I mean, people that live here obviously know this land much better than I ever could. So if anybody knows of any species that, you know, like if you have like a species at risk on your property and you want to study it, then let me know. And I would love to talk about it. I'd love to see it myself too. And in general, this is such like a special place. And I want to be able to assess and protect those natural features as much as I can. A lot of the challenges usually come from, you know, just lack of money and lack of time. Same as everybody else, I think.
And lastly, before I get you out of here, another thing I do know that garnered a lot of attention in the media on the reserve was during the summer, there was the possible cougar sighting. I was just wondering if you had any insights on that or anything you could share that maybe people would find interesting.
Yeah. So unfortunately, so cougars, no confirmed sightings within this area. Let's start there. And I do want to make it clear that there's a difference between a wild population and like a released pet. Unfortunately, released pets are kind of a thing that we have to get used to and a thing that we should be expecting a lot more. I know that there's a while ago, for example, there's a released cougar that was caught near Orangeville that was declawed, which is obviously questionable, and it's obviously a released pet because it's declawed. So that being said, like wild cougars, they do tend to like their space. They don't like to be near humans at all. So, I mean, I'm not saying that it's impossible for a cougar to be on Six Nations. Anything's possible. A cougar and it's still a big, that's certainly concerning, right? So the best that I can say is, you know, like you're health and safety. If you see a big cat and you're concerned for your health and safety, like that takes priority over anything else. So protect your family, keep your family close to you, keep your pets close to you. And if you can, and it's safe to do so, I'd love to see like pictures, things like that. So like, unfortunately, I can't really give a conclusive answer though.
I think that's interesting as it is, but thank you very much for doing this, Lauren. Best of luck with all the work in the coming months, and I do look forward to seeing some of the findings from that work as well.
Yeah, I mean, continue to look at our Facebook page. I'm going to continue to post things. In addition, real quick, we're just discussing the future projects that were coming up, and one of the projects coming up has to do with aerial insectivore. So aerial insectivores are a birds and bats that basically catch bugs right up the air. So think swallows, think bats, obviously. Eastern wood peewees that you'll kind of hear around here, they're quite popular. And so this winter, I'm actually hoping to do some interviews with to give me their knowledge.
All right, Lauren, thank you very much for doing this. This was awesome.
Thank you so much.